It's an honour to be here. Go and do likewise. That's my message this morning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I tell you what, people, truest compassion is only found in the nature of God. Because only God knows the full depth of an individual's pains, need, or suffering. Christ's likeness calls us to learn to have a heart of compassion like Jesus did. A depth of sensibility that can be worked in us through the Holy Spirit. Reconditioning our hearts, people, to be able to sense the pain of human bondage and to weep with those who weep. We need that kind of compassion. This world needs that kind of compassion, and we can give that kind of compassion. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I tell you, compassion is the force that will drive us to be God's witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If we are not moved with the same compassion that moved Jesus, the multitudes will continue to be weary and the sheep will continue to be scattered. We need the compassion of the Lord in our lives. Until you and I are moved with compassion, with care and mercy, souls all around us will continue to be unharvested. We need to have the compassion of Christ. Jesus said, "Go, compel them to come in." That's what he said. Go out to the highways, the byways, and behind hedges and compel them to come to the table he has set for them. But if we do not care, do not have compassion, we will not go. Compassion is the force that will cause us to spend and be spent for others. Caring moves us to go. Do you know that? To give so that others can live. Truest compassion is found in the nature of God because God knows the full depth of others' pain. This church has been supporting the work in India for a long time. So much has happened over the last 4 years because of COVID and all that. And for a while, God put on my heart, for those that don't know, my husband's in my heart, to give saris to the widows. Why saris? Because, you know, it's an honour to have a sari. These widows in the poorest areas are known as the lowest of the rats. And this is the people that we've been reaching now for years and years and years. For a couple of years, we stopped doing saris because, you know, COVID came. People were starving. People were dropping dead everywhere. And people were jailed and they had medication, hospital, dying. So we sent that money supporting all that. But now we're back to doing the saris again. Isn't that amazing? And they know that I'm coming in November, hopefully. And they are excited. Not so much about me, but they're just going to get a new sari, I think. Let's be honest. You'll see some pictures coming up here soon. Some pictures coming up. When they come up. Because what's happening in India now is some terrible things are happening. It's persecution has come to India in a terrible way. Up the north of India, where we do a lot of work, the women are getting raped by the thousands. I'm telling you, thousands. People are leaving that area in multitudes. Because the Hindus are out there just killing, slaughtering, raping, doing all those sorts of things. You'll see some pictures come up where they're burning the churches, they're burning, all this is happening up there at this very moment. And this is an area we've been putting into for a long time. So please pray for these people. And persecution is just coming everywhere. Not only the Christians, but the Muslims are being persecuted as well, just as bad as the Christians. And you know, and we're still going to. I'm not going up there. My husband will kill me. But I'm not going up there, but we're sending the support up there once we're on the ground. Amen? Let's look at Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And you know what he's saying to us today? Let us go and do likewise, exactly as that man did. You know, that's a fairly accurate description of the world today. Do you think so? Take, get, or sue them. Don't you reckon that's pretty sums it all up? I reckon it does. Not Jesus anyway. Interesting, the help came from a despised source. Samaritans were absolutely despised. They hated the Samaritans. There was actually mostly outright hostility and hatred between them and the Samaritans. See, the compassion from the Samaritan was actually more commendable that he helped the man, when in reality the person he was helping wouldn't have helped him. Not in a fit would he have helped him. And the priest and the Levite had a lot going for them. They had a calling. They had an anointing. They were in office. They had ministry. They had education. They had prosperity. They were respected. But all that was not enough for them to move to make a difference in this perishing man's life. And we need, and we can, right where we're sitting today, to put into people that are perishing, people that are being persecuted, people that are starving, we can be part of what that Samaritan did. Isn't that correct, people? It's true. See, Samaritan saw the hurt man. He was a despised one. He was despised. But you know what? He was moved with compassion. Compassion moved the Samaritan. Not calling, definitely not titles, definitely not ministry. Compassion moved him beyond racial discrimination. It's compassion that's going to make the difference. Compassion's going to reach people. Compassion's going to change this nation, not who we think we are. See, compassion took him completely out of his comfort zone. Compassion overrode the fact that he was not a kinsman or a fellow citizen of Israel, but a despised Samaritan. You know, compassion drove him to make a difference in someone else's life. Isn't that amazing? You know, normally the man that he was helping wouldn't have helped him at all in any circumstances. And it should be the same to us, that we are reaching out with compassion. You know, we expect such compassion from a friend, hopefully, or a brother or sister, hopefully. But we see it done here by a stranger and a despised foreigner. Isn't that amazing, people? Compassion of the Samaritan was not an idle compassion. He backed it with that action all the way. You know, we can have sympathy. I've had sympathy. You know, I've watched shows and I sympathize with them. Half an hour later, I've forgotten all about it. Isn't that true? We get compassion is nothing to do with sympathy. Compassion is actually backing up what you believe and reaching out to other people who are much worse off than you. See, this parable also provides some valuable insight in how to help people in need. How do we help people in need? First, we have to draw near to people in difficulty to be able to offer comfort and access their needs. I know I'm talking a bit about India today, but I'm talking about here, where we are situated right now. We can reach people if we do it with compassion. Secondly, we need to be aware you may not be able to meet all the needs yourself, but you may need the help of others. We couldn't have done all that we've done without C3 Fremantle. We couldn't have done it all over these years. We could not have done it. So, you know, we need others to come on board. Thirdly, pray that God will open our eyes to the needs of those around us and will give us wisdom regarding who to help and how best to care for them. Fourthly, we need to pray that God will fill you with his compassion. Mostly, you know what? We are to go and do likewise. That's what the Bible says. You know what compassion does? It breaks down barriers. It reaches into places where we would not normally go. Compassion is the key to reaching this nation. Praise God. The compassion of Christ breaks down all barriers of who we are and where we can reach. Amen. We need to learn to tap into the compassion of God. And that's only by spending time with Him and worshiping Him, listening to what He's saying, listening to when He says, go, go and do likewise, go and do likewise. And when we're standing there and we see someone in trouble, but we stand back, you know what? It's what He's saying to you right now. Go and do likewise. That's what He wants us to do. You know, Christianity demands a level of caring that transcends human inclinations. It really is. The priest and the Levite were God's servants, but they had no compassion. Bottom line, they did not value a man's life above their own inconvenience and comfort. Esther cared about her people. You know, it's amazing. Not only did she put her life on the line, and the king could have refused her. You know the story. But you know what? She had compassion for her people. And she was offered co-rulership with the king. And later he rewarded her with a signet ring symbolizing a new authority in her life. She put her life on the line. He could have not wanted to see her that night. He could have just refused to see her, the king. But she went because she had compassion for her people. And you know, we need to have compassion for our people. We need to have that compassion. See, it's interesting. As Esther valued the life of others, her own life increased with value. As that Samaritan valued the life of Israelite, the value in his life increased. When we go out with compassion, their value increases, but so does ours. As Mother Teresa, I've had the privilege of actually seeing Mother Teresa, reached out to the poor and dying. She reached out to disease-ridden people. She'd go out the streets and pick them up with all their diseases. Little woman. The value of the people touched her. And you know what? As she valued more and more people, their lives were increased. But so did the value of her life. Her life increased as we increase others. Is that exciting? When I saw that the other day when I was reading the Bible, I thought, you know what? Our life increases as we increase other people's lives. Amen. You know, as you make yourself, as you make someone else feel valuable, that you become so much more valuable yourself. Don't you love that? The priest and the Levite were afraid of losing their time, afraid of losing their income, afraid of losing their comfort. They did not value someone else. And you know what happened? They lost their own value. They lost their own value because they didn't have value for others. See, the truth is, people, Christianity is about others, about compassion and selflessness and caring and those things that cost us big at times. You know what? Not having those things costs us even more. You know, in India, it's been a long story, I won't go into it, but many years ago, God put in my heart to buy some saris for widows. Because you know what? They might have one sari in their wardrobe, but they look more beautiful than us every day. It's amazing, isn't it? But you know, we was put on our hearts, and I remember standing up there with 25 saris. And I tell you, last year, I think we calculated we've given about 20,000 saris away. And we started off with nothing. We had no money, nothing. Didn't even know what we were doing. Dave was standing there with his sari and we'd popping. It was really quite funny. You know, and we've been going ever since. And as I said, we're back with the saris again this year. You know, and you know what? It just gave them, if you could see the smile on their faces, if you could see them crying, you can see that they are being valued. You know, and now when we walk in, they all jump up and clap. Why? Because our value went up because they're valued. Can you see what I'm saying? Praise God. I've seen growth in churches through it. In the Indian women, they just work behind the scenes. You know, they bring people to the Lord all the time. One thing, persecution is terrible in India, but I tell you what, they've never had so many salvations. They've never had so many new churches rising up. And this can be the same here. What have they got caught hold of? But compassion. And if we need compassion, we're going to see the same in our country. Praise God. Praise God. You know, Muslims, Hindus, Christians, I don't care. I give them a sari. And it's amazing. And one day the head of the Hindu, the Muslim women, she came near me and she kept saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. She learned something from me. Praise God. But what did we do? We gave them the sari, but we hugged them. It's not always easy to hug people that haven't had a shower for months. But you know what? We hugged them and we loved on them. Praise God. And we speak about the love of God. As I said before, during COVID, we were doing a lot of medicine, stuff like that, but we are back with the saris and still feeding them as well. You know, the saris are an amazing way to honour these widows. The saris make them feel loved, make them feel secure and respected. As I said, they cry when they receive them. You know, there's many ways we've had just with the saris. And just reaching out to these people. I have a Hindu friend. She's an ex-air hostess. I met her on the plane, an amazing woman. But, you know, her mum's been laying sick for 10 years on the bed. And every time I went there, mum, they were Hindus, but mum used to be a Catholic. And it was very interesting that when I went there, she was always laying on the bed and sort of out to it. But as soon as she'd see me, she would lift up her eyes and open her eyes, and she knew it was me. And you know what she did? She'd grab my hand and go, every time I sat there. Is that amazing? She just did that. She knew who it was and she knew who God was. Just little things. What did I do? She couldn't talk, couldn't do anything, but I always, always sat with her. And the room was full of Hindu people and I always prayed for her in front of them. She went to be with the Lord not long ago. And you know, like the hotel she'd go into. I went to the hotel, there was a guy there. He looked miserable as anything. And I just started talking to him. And I said, what's wrong in that? And he said, oh, we've been trying to have a baby for years and years and years and we don't. And I think we're going to separate and all that. And I said, you know what? How about I pray for you right now that your wife will have a baby? Why not? He looked at me. Pray? I said, yeah, I'll pray. Don't worry. I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't worry about it. You just don't do anything. Just accept it. And you know what? When we went next year, guess what he had in his hands? A baby! You know, these are all little things I'm trying to show you, you know, that can happen. And, you know, we're in a restaurant with one of the other women from the church I'm in, and so Sharon. And, you know, and the boss, this young guy was trying to serve, and this boss was terrible to him. They treat him terribly. And so Sharon, she got in before me, she stood up and said, hey, stop it. Stop doing that to them. You know, stop doing that to your employees. Why are you doing that? I'm going to walk out and not eat, she said, if you don't stop it. And the bloke didn't know what to do. But when we went outside, that young boy ran outside, out the restaurant and hugged her because she saved his bacon. Isn't that amazing? You know, and another two women, you know, over there, you must remember if a wife doesn't fall pregnant in 2 years, she's chucked out. She's finished, gone, thing. And there was a couple there that had been married 7 years and didn't have children. And you won't believe this, but they get married so young. And another couple was married for 17 years. And we prayed. Sharon prayed for the 17-year one. She had more faith than me. And I prayed for the 7-year one. And next year, one baby was born and another one was pregnant. You know, little things that we can do. This is compassion. This is out while we're doing saris. But, you know, you just, wherever you are, people will open their hearts to you if you do it with compassion. Praise God. And I met a Hindu doctor and she came to the Lord. And now she's actually counseling and helping all the poor people. She's doing an amazing job. All because we said, hello, how are you going? What are you doing about Jesus? You know, we can change other people's lives. You know, we can think that's India. That's the mission field. Yeah, it's the mission field, part of it for us. But, you know, and we are compassionate about the Indian people. And we do see many coming to Jesus. But you know what? There's people in our lives right here who are not valued. We have so many light people in our world that are not valued. They're not hugged. They're not loved. They're not respected. They're not honored. because probably they're drug addicts or something, who knows. But God's really challenged me on this. They need the love of Jesus too, as much as the people in India. And you know, we are to stand in the gap for other people. Will we stand in the gap? Will we be filled with God's compassion and act out on it so that none will perish? I tell you, it's only God's compassion that will move us. I'm going to finish with Colossians 3, verse 12, from the Message. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe Jesus picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Lift others' value and your value will be lifted up. People, my heart to you this morning. As we come to pass over to the pastor to come to a time of giving for Leap into Spring, please let's do it with compassion. Please let's do it with compassion. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.